Hello there, thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm delighted to be joined by two of the finest judges the Racing Post has, in Keith Melrose and David Jennings. And we've also got from Paddy Power, Graham Temple, with prices and hopefully winners as well. A slightly unfamiliar rejigged look to the weekend. Prince Philip's funeral takes place on Saturday afternoon. So the Saturday racing, now there's a couple of meetings taking place before that and a couple after that. They have decreed that no sport can take place during the funeral. As a consequence, the big meetings that were due to take place on Saturday at Ayr and at Newbury have been moved to Sunday. They will be televised by ITV. So there's some brilliant stuff on Sunday now. It's become a really, really good Sunday. Still some good action over in Ireland on Saturday as well. We'll see what the lads fancy on Saturday. But the main focus will be on Sunday and we'll start at Newbury, where ITV are showing some terrific races. And we'll start with the 210 there. It's the mile and a half Dubai Duty Free Finest Surprise Stakes, better known as the John Porter. It's a Group 3 and William Haggas trains the favourite in Al-Arzi, Graham. That's the correct pronunciation. What is the latest betting?
Yeah, we go 13-8, the market topper for William Haggas, Al-Arzi. 7-2, Deja. Outbox is 5-1, 6-1 without a fight. It's 11-1, Eucan Glen, and 12s and bigger the rest, Bruce.
Eucan Glen back for more this season. Let's see how he starts his campaign, the noble eight-year-old. Who are you going to go for, Keith?
Well, I think I agree with whoever's priced up the race for Paddy Power, because they've gone quite short on Deja, and that's the horse I'll probably be backing. You can get 11-2 in places. Hopefully might drift with Paddy's to be able to get on with them. He's not had much racing. He's got a lot of good form fresh and has had some cracking form in handicaps last year. Second Royal Ascot on his reappearance, and then won the Old Newton Cup second time out before finishing mid-pack in the Ebor. Yeah, I just think he's a potential group horse this year. Al-Arzi's a horse I never get right. I back him when he loses and I leave him a little alone when he wins. So I'm going to take him on again with Deja.
Deja for Keith. Who for DJ?
I'm delighted Keith has taken him on because I'm going to back Al-Arzi. I just think he's different class to these, Bruce. Like, William Haggas won this in 2012 with Harris Tweed. And I'd say this is a better horse than him. Last season, he was a funny sort of a season last season. Obviously, everything was rushed. And first time out, he ran against Mishriff at Newmarket. But he was brilliant next time when he won that Novice Stakes by 10 lengths. And when he won the Bahrain Trophy, to me, I just thought he was a potential in-time Ascot Gold Cup horse. Now, the race at Goodwood that Mogul won was just a messy race, I thought, the Gordon Stakes. It was a funny sort of race. And I just thought with Al-Arzi, it was just a little bit too early in his education for him. I think he's going to be a much better four-year-old than he was a three-year-old. He's already rated 108. That leaves him with £4 to find on Deja. I think he'll make that jump up this year. I think he's going to be a lovely horse this year, Bruce.
Okay, thank you, DJ. And Graham, who's your first tip of the day going to be?
Well, it's never any harm backing a horse that you're sure is fit and outbox for Archie Watson, having won his last couple of starts. If you look at the horses towards the top of the markets here, anything that's priced higher than 12-1 is having its first race of the year, except for outbox. So I think at current prices, we've got it about 5-1. Archie Watson in good form, Holly Doyle in the saddle. I'd see myself backing outbox there each way around that price.
Thank you very much, chaps. We move on to the 2:45 at Newbury on Sunday. The Dubai Duty Free Stakes, registered as the Fred Darling, which makes it obviously a Group 3 and more importantly makes it a 1,000 guineas trial. In actual fact, I think we've got Tom Siegel's anti-post 1,000 guineas tip at the head of the market in alcohol-free, Graham.
Yeah, alcohol-free tops our market at 7-2 for Andrew Balding. Happy Romance is a 4-1 shot. 6-1, Isabella Giles. 7-1, Dundala. Lucid Dreamer is a 10-1 shot. It's 12-1 bar. But just to point out, Bruce, Paddy on site, we're giving money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth in this race. Doesn't have to finish second, third or fourth to the favourite. Just finish second, third or fourth. It's a free bet refund up to £10.
And not just available on your site, but also on our app. So if you haven't downloaded the Racing Post app, do so. And all those great offers that you hear about throughout the show, all the extra places that are available on there as well. DJ, the Greenham and the Fred Darling are quite good this year, aren't they?
They are. They're really interesting as well. I love when they're competitive and you don't have like an odds-on shot in it. This is really competitive. I actually thought 7-2 was a big price about Alcohol Free. Like, Andrew Balding's horses are in really good form. He's had 6 winners in the last fortnight. But not only that, he's had 5 seconds and I think 6 or 7 thirds. They're all running really well. And, you know, he hasn't actually had that many favourites. I think out of his 6 winners, I think only 2 of them were favourites. So they're running really well. The team are in good form. And I just thought with Alcohol Free, when you watched her last season, you kind of said to yourself, she's going to actually develop into a better 3-year-old because she's quite fizzy in the early part of her races. And I think she hopefully will have grown up plenty. Like Tom, I give her a big chance in the Guineas, and I'm hoping she'll start the season in style. If she's settled, she should have no problem getting the 7. One at a much bigger price, Bruce. I love the debut performance of a horse called Zajira for Roger Varian. Won at Kempton in October, was well back that day. Just a real likeable performance, hit the line really hard. And obviously, it's not the most fashionable way to be going into a kind of a classic season to be winning the Kempton Maiden in October. But I'd say Zajira is quite a nice horse. I wouldn't be surprised if she ran well. So Zajira and Alcohol Free would be my two, Bruce.
You say that, DJ, but I think now sometimes those sort of single run wins, you know, in an evening under the lights, they're becoming a little bit more sexy, aren't they? I mean, we've seen a lot of good careers start that way. So be interesting to see how Zajira goes. But DJ's main tip is Alcohol Free at the head of the market. Graham, who are you going to go for?
I thought Wild Iris was a bit of a stick out here as an each way play at this sort of price. Wild Iris, we've got it at 14-1. This horse lost lengths at the start on his debut at Newcastle on the all weather. And we all know if you want to win on the all weather at Newcastle, you have to stay quite strongly. John and Thady Gosden, trainers, Frankie Dettori in the place. I just can't see this horse starting at this sort of price come race time. I think a 14-1, I'll have to go with Wild Iris each way.
And it should be pointed out, Graham, since you haven't done so, that Paddy Power are offering 4 places here. It's a 17 run of field, actually. But so you're going to need them all. But that is every little helps. Keith, who do you think is going to win the Fred Darling?
With no great conviction, particularly, I'm probably going to give Dandala one more chance to prove that she's really good. She might just be a bit more of a 2-year-old, but I thought she looked extremely good at Royal Ascot and obviously won her next start as well before having a wee break before she ran in the Cheveley Park and finished 5th. Maybe give that forgive it. She's available at nearly double-figure odds. I would have thought that would have been surprising given how she looked at Royal Ascot. So, yeah, I'll give her one more chance to show she might have trained on.
Thank you very much, Keith. We've done the Phillies Guineas trial. It's at the Colts one. That takes place at 3:20 over 7 furlongs. The Watership Down Stud, 2 Don Hot, Greenham Stakes, and good old Chindit, who became many people's favourite 2-year-old last season. He heads the market, Graham.
Yeah, we've got him at 9-4. It's then 4-1 fundamental for John and Thady Gosden and Frankie Dettori again. You've got Alchemese at 5-1, 7-1 Nando Parado, 8-1 Rhythm Master, 12-1, and bigger the rest, Bruce.
Okay, we will stick with you for the first tip, please, Graham.
Well, Chindit's much higher rating than Fundamental, yet there isn't a huge amount between the pair and the betting. And then I had a study of Fundamental, and this horse was saving a bit for himself last time out when he won on April the 1st at Chelmsford, I thought. We know he's fit. He's probably a little bit shorter than I would like, but again, you've got that combination of the Gosdens and Dettori. So if I was having a bet in this race, I'd be back in Fundamental.
Who would you be backing, Keith Melrose?
Sort of carrying on the theme from the Fred Darling, really. No massive conviction, but I just think the odds might be understating what we could get from Nando Parado if he has trained on. He was second in France a couple of times after he won the Coventry, obviously, at those monster odds. But and it was in testing ground over there, and I think you can make a case for there being more to come from him potentially this year. It is just his price stuck out a little bit, and he's got, you know, he's only £3 off top on RPRs, and he's quite high on the BHA ratings as well. He doesn't have that much to find, really, and I thought he's maybe being slightly underestimated.
Keith, what price are you that either or both of the Guineas winners are running at Newbury on Sunday?
Oh, dear.
Roughly, top of your head.
I can't price that up, Bruce, because I'm still feeling my way into these classics, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm not going to price that up.
You've still got your tweed and your jumps hat on, haven't you? I'll ask the same question.
Wait until the whip rest out the way.
Yeah, well, quiet. DJ never sits on the fence. What price are you that one of the Guineas winners is running on this card?
No, I'd price anything up for you, Bruce. Yeah. I will go 4-1.
Yeah, that, do you know what? That's the exact figure I had in my head, and you know much more about it than me. I mean, the point is, there's, I think in the two races, there's something like 29 runners. So, you know, they've all got Guinea's dreams, all their connections do. And there's some good ones here, isn't there? You know, a lot of last year's best two-year-old form is on display. More importantly, who wins this, DJ?
Yeah, like when you go through it, like you see the past winners of this race and you kind of forget, you go, wow, like Frankel, Olympic Glory, Kingman, Muharrar, Barney Roy, Muhatter last year. Like it's always a cracking race. And we obviously don't know how good a lot of these are and how much they've trained on from 2 to 3. If there was rain, I would have been all over Mujbar for Charlie Hills and Jim Crowley. I do think he needs a bit of cut in the ground. The one time he underperformed was on quick enough ground at Doncaster behind Chindit. If there was rain over the next couple of days, and that's why we need Keels to check a forecast. If there was rain,
we can all read a weather forecast, DJ. Honestly, mine says not, but yeah. Equally, I woke up on Monday morning. There was an inch of snow outside, and there wasn't a word about that. So you can't trust the moist. But I think it's going to be fairly dry. That looks reasonably
good. Yeah, I wouldn't be even surprised if Mujbar didn't run and that Jim Crowley switched over to Alchemate. But this is boring, Bruce, and I hate doing it, but I think Chindit is going to win. I actually don't think he's a Guinness horse because I don't think he's going to see out a strongly run mile. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Richard Hannan said to himself, you know what? The Greenham is the perfect race for this horse. 7 furlongs. And if he wins it, great. We'll have a try at the Guineas. If not, there's always like the July Cup and all that kind of stuff. And we can go back to sprinting because I think this horse has got serious pace. I think he's better than these. If it did rain and it did get a bit tacky, I think Mujbar would be very interesting. But as I said, Bruce, it's boring. I think Chindit is going to win it.
I tell you what, I don't know many punters who find backing 9-4 winners boring, DJ.
Well, he hasn't won yet.
No, but I mean, if he does, it's not boring, is it? Okay, the 3:55 is over a mile. It's the Mansionbet Spring Cup. It's a handicap, and it's another very competitive affair. We've got 18 runners. Graham, how do Paddy Power bet? Hopefully, plenty of extra places.
Yeah, there will be extra places on the race. Dania 4-1, 5-1 Troll Peninsula. Nugget is an 8-1 shot, 10-1 Imperial Command. It is 12-1 Matthew Flinders and New Bolt and Ryek. And another one at 12-1 there is Revich. And 14-1 are bigger than the rest, Bruce.
5 places from Paddy Power. Good news. Keith, who do you like here?
Well, I've sort of nailed my colours to the mast a bit already with this. I thought Daniel shaped very well in the Lincoln last time. Didn't really get the rub of the green. Is going to basically be, a mile's going to be as far as he goes. So maybe he'll be better off, fitter for it. And I think quicker ground's going to see him improve this year. But I would also, I think I'm a Dutch, the two hand dynamic tune runners. Ryek's also in there. He's drawn right next door to Johan, who's one of the likely pace horses. And Ryek just, he was a progressive really in the autumn last year. And he went off 11-4 for the Balmoral, which is always obviously a very, very competitive handicap. He had to make it running that day, didn't really get home. He looked like he was going to finish a lot closer than 5.5 lengths fifth, but he really just faded out of it late on. Quite a sizeable horse on the telly. Could well have developed again coming in as a 4-year-old. So, yeah, I think he's interesting at 12s as well as the horse in the same colours, Dania.
Dania is Keith's pick. Who's David Jennings' pick?
Matthew Flinders for me, Bruce. I just think Matthew Flinders and Ryek, I don't think there's a lot between them. When they ran at Sandown last year in that mile handicap, there was about a head, I think, between them. It was a blanket finish. And they're kind of similar type of horses. Now, Ryek was given Matthew Flinders, I think, maybe a little bit of weight there. Maybe not, actually. I think there was a pound in the difference. But one is rated 107. And Ryak is rated 107. And Matthew Flinders is now only rated 97. And I think off 97, I think Matthew Flinders is going to have a good season. He disappointed on his final start at York, but that was on soft ground. And it did get really deep that day. He was sent off 11-2. He runs off the same mark here. I thought when he won at Doncaster, he was quite impressive in September. He's only £5 higher now. Ed Walker has booked Oshie Murphy, who I presume could have rode plenty of these in this. And he's a big price, 12-1. I couldn't believe he wasn't a single figure price. So Matthew Flinders will do for me.
Cheers, DJ. Graham?
Dania, I thought, ran a huge race when beaten only just over 4 lengths by Hakiki in the Lincoln. And we all know there was only one horse in that Lincoln, Hakiki first and the rest nowhere. The horse ran a little bit freely early doors, and I think that costed a little bit of its fuel near the end. And I think if it was able to finish within 4 lengths of a Hakiki and Jim Crowley's back in the saddle, I think I'm very strong on Daniel here, Bruce.
Okay, let's get stuck into Ayres' brilliant Sunday card next.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post weekend postcast, and we are looking at Ayres' Sunday card live on ITV. The highlight is the Scottish Grand National. We'll come to that in a bit. But first, we'll do the 1:15 over 2 miles and a half of fun on the Scotty Brand Handicap Chase. Just the there are six runners, but it's competitive and interesting. Some decent sorts in here. Graham, what's the latest betting?
Yeah, we go 9-4 at the top of the field here. Dan and Harry Skelton's King d'Argent, and it's 5-2 Grand Saucy. Some Rains, a 4-1 shot, 13-2 after that return ticket. The Inval, 8-1, and bringing up the rear in the betting is Duke of Navan at 10-1, Bruce.
DJ, have you got a confident selection here?
Yeah, I'm just delighted to see Grand Saucy back over 2 miles. I think he's crying out for it. He was just far too keen and fresh and just wants to get on with things last time at Newbury. Harry Cobden just let him roll, and he was a fine sight down the back at Newbury. He just got tired then up the home straight. Obviously, Harry is injured at the moment, so Sean Bowen takes over. But like you go back and you see that this horse started odds on to win that Grade 2 Future Stars race at Wincanton back in November. He was very disappointing that day. But I thought last time at Newbury, if he was allowed to settle and if he kind of just did things a bit better in the first half of the race, he could turn into a nice kind of 2 mile handicapper. And I know King d'Argent is in terrific form, but he's up to a mark of 144 now. Like when he beat Blacko at Sudley, he was only rated 125. So it's a big hike. I think this is a better race and I'm going to chance Grand Saucy.
Okay, Graham, who's your selection going to be?
I would only be repeating what DJ just said there. Grand Saucy, the drop and trip to suit. And remember, last time out, it was still banging contention despite burning a lot of fuel throughout the race. And more importantly, Paul Nicholls is back in form. 13 winners from his last 50 runners. So I'm going to go with DJ and go with Grand Saucy.
Okay, does the postcast fruit machine come up with three of the same for this race, Keith?
Basically, it does, yeah. I very much agree with what the guys have said on Grand Saucy. My notes literally say, if this horse is a chaser, it's a two-miler. The trip is what's going to be the difference here. I would point out as well that quite a spicy sort of narrative. You've got two horses in this race that can often press on, and they're ridden by Harry Skelton and Brian Hughes. You've got King d'Argent as well as Return Ticket. So if they, you know, especially given the Hughes and Skelton battle for the jockey's title, I don't think either's going to let the other have a free ride on the front, so you'll get a pace that doesn't really slacken too much, and that's going to suit Grand Saucy, who, if he does do anything too much in his races, he gets a bit fizzy, so that'll help him. Yeah, he's the one that I'll be backing.
Who's going to win the Jockeys Championship out of those two, Keith?
Well, it looks like Harry Skelton. The Skelton are just throwing everything to get Harry over the line, aren't they? So I suspect it will be Harry.
Interesting that, though. I'm really enjoying seeing those two duking it out. Let's move on to the 150 at Ayr. 3 miles is the trip. It's the CPMS Novice Champion Handicap Chase. Loads of runners in this. It's wide open. Graham, give us a show of betting and then tell us who's going to win.
We're going four places in this race, Bruce. Pilbara tops the market at 4-1 with us. Five-star Getaway, 11-2. 7-1, Phlegmatic and Maroon. One more Flurry's a 9-1 shot, and then it's 10-1 and bigger the rest. What am I going for in this? I've no real huge strong opinion on this, but I have a big respect for Sandy Thompson, and I see he's got Sir William Wallace. It won last time out. It was a very weak small field event, but this horse only has 10 stone 10 pounds on its back. It's up a few pounds for that victory, but at 14-1, I think I'd have to go with Sir William Wallace each way here with the four places. Fourth will do. I'm not greedy.
How about you, Keithy?
It's an interesting, it's a very valuable race, but quite a lot of these horses have sort of had their chance elsewhere and won in, you know, lesser races that might have compromised their chance of this. I've got one that I really quite like in this race, actually. The price, I think, on the butcher said is totally wrong. This horse has been running in open handicaps, not just novice handicaps. They've been good races, you know. He's running the Sky Bet Chase, he's running the Rehearsal Chase, he's run in the old Racing Post Chase. You know, he's been in these big handicaps and not been found wanting a little bit. But the key to this horse is he struggles with his wind. And he had his wind done in the 3 or 4 weeks between the Sky Bet and the old Racing Post Chase. That was basically not enough time maybe for the full effects to be felt.
Are we, and he also,
Are we going to get the name?
Yeah, the butcher said.
The butcher said.
Oh, he said the butcher. I was waiting there. I was like, God, this is brilliant. What's the name? I didn't actually hear the name. Sorry.
No, it was quite subtle, DJ, I must admit. But no, he definitely did say it. He did say it. No.
Well, I had to wait at least. Had somebody eating out my hand at least. I think you might have put him up as well, DJ. I don't know if it was you or somebody else that did it anyway, but I think somebody else I know that comes on these as a fan of the Butcher said needs that wind up. The ride, I mean, nothing got involved from out the back in the racing post chase, which is, you know, that's typical for that sort of race. A lot of reasons you can excuse all these runs. Now he's had a little bit more time after that wind up. Yeah, I think this horse is a massive price at about 16-1.
I wonder what the Butcher did say. All those McNeil horses have good names. So Keith goes for the Butcher said. All right, DJ, you got that? Who are you going to go for?
Sorry, I feel really bad. That's Nick. Right. I was actually really listening intently because he was making a really good case. And yeah, I can. he's almost convinced me. But look, Graham said that he had great respect for Sandy Thompson there. I have so much, the utmost respect for Paul Byrne and Emmett Mullins, because what they did with the Shunter was nothing short of remarkable. In any other season, it would almost be the story of the season.
Yeah, it was like a kind of Hunt Ball kind of thing, wasn't it? Yeah,
unbelievable stuff, like unbelievable. Mm. So much has happened this year between Henry and Rachel Lever, and it was a bit lost in all of that. But look, we used to work with Paul Byrne in the Racing Post. The man is a genius. You know, he's whatever 20 something going on like 60 something. He's just a genius. And like to spot a race like this, as Keith said, like this is actually a really valuable race, and we're surprised at that now because prize money in England and Scotland is so poor. And Paul obviously spotted this race, saw it's whatever 26 grand to the winner, which is 30 something grand euros. A novice handicap chase over 3 miles, exactly what this horse wants on decent ground. Again, what this horse wants. Like he's rating 118 in Ireland, he has to run off 125 here. But I would say,
doesn't usually stop him, does it? These days,
I'd say he's got a few pounds to play around with this horse. I know, like when he ran at Galway last summer, they were really keen on him to win a handicap hurdle off 113. Now he was disappointing; he only finished second, and the horse that beat him hasn't turned out to be anything special. But I just think this is a really good piece of placing, and I put my faith in Emmett and Paul, to be honest with you.
Fair enough, yeah. You can't go far wrong based on what they've done already this season. Let's move on to the 225 at Ayr on Sunday. It's the Coral Scottish Champion Hurdle, and it's a very competitive affair. Graham, give us Paddy Power's latest prices.
Calico for the Skeltons is a 5-2 shot, 11-4 Milkwood, 13-2 Time White, 7-1 Tommy's Oscar, Diego Just Charmille is a 15-2 shot, and it's 10-1 Bar.
Thank you, Graham. Let's see whose go it is to go first. I think it's you, Keith.
This is I have no massive conviction, but I will be giving Time White another chance. I think you know, he obviously caught the eye very much in the Betfair Hurdle, and then didn't do an awful lot wrong when he was midfield in the county. He's beaten less than 10 lengths, and I think he was quite free early on in that race as well. Zipping round air over closer to 2 miles is going to be more his bag, I suspect, and you'll still get the better ground that the CE needs. So, yeah, give him another chance.
That's Time White for Keith. David Jennings, who's your selection?
Oh, Tommy's Oscar, Bruce. I cannot believe this horse has only gone up £6 for winning last time at Kelso. He absolutely bolted up. Now, I know he probably didn't win as comfortably as looked likely in between the last two hurdles, but he would poke your eye out the whole way through that race at Kelso. He beat Christopher Wood, who Christopher Wood is Christopher Wood. He's a decent yardstick, and he beat him comfortably across the line, was third for the Skeltons. And it was one of these races. There was five runners, but at no stage of the race did Tommy's Oscar look in trouble. I thought he might get a double figure hike for that. I thought he'd definitely get £8 or £10. He's got away with six. Loved the way he jumped. Loved the way he travelled through the race. I think this race is tailor-made for him. And Anne Hamilton and Danny McMenamin, I think a big win could be coming their way with Tommy's Oscar.
A very convincing case for Tommy's Oscar from David Jennings. Follow that, Graham.
I'm going for Milkwood here for Neil Mulholland and Sam Twist and Davies. This Milkwood, let's look at his form. Third in the county hurdle. Who was he third to? Belfast Banter. He was giving Belfast Banter £11, lads. We know what Belfast Banter did at Aintree. He was the most impressive winner at Cheltenham, many people say. Surely it's Milkwood's turn. And to add to that, I was just reading that line of form at Cheltenham in the county hurdle. Milkwood also lost a back shoe in the race. I'm not sure if that would have affected the horse too much, but still, it wouldn't have helped, I would have imagined. So I'm quite strong on Milkwood here.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. We move on. It's the 3 o'clock at Ayr on Sunday. 2 miles and 4.5 furlongs for the Jordan Electrics Limited Future Champion Novices Chase. Just the four runners and all mankind. Can he give Harry Skelton another winner on in his quest to be champion jockey? He's just about odds on, I think, Graham.
Yeah, we've got him a shade of odds on at 10 to 11. 15 to 8, Tamarok Dumathan. 5 to 1, Melistic. And 16 to 1, the Rag of the Four. Who shot the sheriff?
DJ, with my sketchy knowledge of the form book, I'm struggling to see why All Mankind is as big as 10 to 11.
Yeah, you can make that point, Bruce, but I'll be taking him on. I thought he had an absolute grueler in the Arkell. Like, Rachel took him on the whole way on Captain Guinness, and they went, like, they went so hard that Eldorado Allen caught both of them for second. I thought, yeah, I know he said, let's go to Ayr instead of Aintree with All Mankind, but I'd say he found it tough to get over that race. And for that reason, Tamarok Dumathan, I think, comes in here fresher. I thought he looked really good last time at Kempton when he won. Jumps slickly, jumps cleanly. He's rated 150, so he's got £10 to find in the figures. But just that Arkell really bothers me. I thought All Mankind put so much into that, and I think we could see the effects of that here. So I'm taking on with Tamarok Dumathan.
Okay, we shall see. Graham, what do you fancy?
Well, I thought it looked a decent opportunity for All Mankind to get back into the winner's enclosure. But I don't back horses at odds on. But when it comes to the race now, I appreciate what DJ said there. But if I saw All Mankind going a little bit of odds against or even money, I'd probably throw a few quid at it. Remember, there's no Shishkin in this. So
why does it matter to you whether it's odds on or not? I mean, why do people do that? What does it matter that it's that particular price that makes you say, I never, ever back them under that?
It's just a psychological thing and a sort of a system. If a horse is odds on, I don't back them. And I think we all have our systems. And I'm not saying that my system works too well.
No, and you're not alone. I just find it very odd that everyone sort of creates that even money price point, which is basically as significant as 13 to 8. But they create this kind of mad aura about it, don't they? It's very strange.
It seems.
Yeah, it's funny, Bruce, that you say that. My dad used to be the same. If he was at the races and a horse was... he was putting a tenner on a horse at evens. If it didn't go evens, he wouldn't back. And I said, but it's 10 to 11. I said, write that here. I'm going to give you the euro myself. Just back.
Interesting. So you're not going to back All Mankind. Who are you going to back, Graham?
I'm going to leave the race alone unless All Mankind goes odds against, and in which case I put a few quid in it.
You never know. Keith, this is interesting, isn't it? Where do you stand on All Mankind? A hard race that he'll struggle to get over, or is he just a cut above these?
Well, sort of your point was, I like that, you know, on the form, he probably could be justified in being a little bit shorter than he is. But I also am on board with DJ's point. The reason he isn't is because there's that chance that Cheltenham's got to the bottom of him. Just because I'm leaving this race alone, which I am, is not an indication that I won't be interested. I like All Mankind as a horse. I very much like Tamarok Dumathan as a horse. And I'll be looking to see what they can do next year. But I will be betting in the race.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on to the big race of the weekend. 3:35 at Ayr. The Coral Scottish Grand National over 4 miles. I always love this race. Good ground. So the dust will be flying as they do nearly, I think it's about 3 and a bit laps of the Scottish track. And we've got a 5-1 favourite. I think the front two are both trained in Scotland this year. Actually, take us through the betting, Graham.
Yeah, we go 6 places on the big race. I write 5-1. Dingo Dollar's an 8-1 shot alongside Soldier of Love. It's 9-1 Sam's Adventure. And then there's a few of them at 12-1, including Mighty Thunder, Mr. Fog Patches, Not a Chance, and the Ferry Master, and Vintage Clouds. And it's 16-1 and bigger the rest, Bruce.
It's the Scottish National, so let's get our Scottish tips to Keith Melrose to have first crack at it.
Yeah, it's probably, there are Scottish Nationals that have excited me more. I had a good look at this race and I'm struggling. I didn't come down on one and say yes, I'm definitely having a good bet on that. The one that I think might run really well is Soldier of Love. I usually deplore summer form. I'll normally just say, a horse with summer form, get out. But he's got some of the best summer form there is, or summer form, but it's more sort of September time, but I still count that as a summer, really, for the purposes of strength and form. You know, he's beaten Cool Cody at Newton Abbott. He's then finished second to Galvin at the showcase meeting at Cheltenham. He's not had many, he really didn't have much racing before that this summer, so there's a case for saying he's relatively unexposed. I noticed that you know, the Steve Mason, the RPR handicapper, has gotten top on what he did in the summer there, and he got Cool Corey right for sure, didn't he, with that horse going out top in the Paddy Power when he won it. Yeah, Soldier Love just got scope to improve. The ground will be absolutely bang on for him, and, you know, not the sort of thing I sort of invest much in, but if you're worried about novices in a big race like this, don't, because novices have a tremendous record in the Scottish National.
Oh, I can't believe you've not gone for Big River. Come on, man.
I thought he was retired. He was retired after he, I think his heart was defibrillating.
That's right. No, he's been given the all clear. Lucinda Russell thinks he's going well. I went back through his form, and although he's a slugger who needs probably 7 miles, he's actually got good form on top of the ground. So I will obviously be plunging in. But let's see if DJ can talk me into a secondary bet.
What's going on? Like, this is the Scottish National. I'm not going to whinge for too long, but like, where are all the horses that are rated, like, you know, 145 to 155? Like, where are all the real good? I know a lot of them ran in the English National, but like, you compare this race to the Irish Grand National, and I know 150 to 1 outside of one, the Irish Grand National, but Leia's Exhibition ran in the Irish Grand National, who would have been second favourite for the Brown Advisor if he went to Cheltenham. Like, I don't, like, it's so disappointing. I love this race every year, and this year it just, I think it's real, like, it's so disappointing that I fancy Soldier Love, because I think Paul Nicholls has done a very shrewd thing here. I think he said to himself, we've got a staying chaser who wants good ground, who's not a graded staying chaser. Let's go for the Scottish National. He's kept him fresh for it, hasn't ran since November. And I just thought the form when beating Cool Cody at Newton Abbott stands up really well. And, you know, Nicholls obviously trained Vicente to win the race twice in 2016, 2017. So he knows what it takes. And I think of 144. He's definitely not a 155 horse, but he could be a kind of a 147, 148 horse. So he could have 4 or 5 pounds in hand. I'm going to go for Soldier of Love.
Just to come in behind DJ on that, he hasn't run since November, but he was meant to run in the old 4 miler at the festival, but the ground went against him.
Okay.
So I think that's a good thing, because I think it also, one, it keeps him fresh for this race, and two, it means he was fit a month ago. So it doesn't put me off at all.
Okay, fair enough. 2 votes for Soldier of Love. Any advance on that, Graham?
I really like Vintage Clouds in this, lads. Vintage Clouds, let me tell you why. We all know he's skated in at Cheltenham, okay? He's racing off 150 in the Scottish National. The lads, or DJ particularly, has said it's a moderate Scottish National. Vintage Clouds went to post in the Grand National in 2019, rated 144, led at the first before falling. He's only rated £6 higher today. He was 11-1 for the Grand National in 2019. There isn't an awful lot of miles on the clock. He's in great form. We all know Sue Smith's horses stay longer than the mother-in-law. I think at 12-1 with 6 places, I'm all in on Vintage Clouds here, lads.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, gents. Right, back with the rest of the Saturday and Sunday fancies in just a mo.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Keith Melrose and Paddy Power's Graham Temple. We've done all the Sunday ITV action. Let's see what the lads fancy on Saturday, because as we said at the start, because of the Duke of Edinburgh's funeral, most of the good stuff has either been moved to Sunday or what remains either takes place early or late on the day. But is there anything that catches your eye on Saturday, Keith?
Yes, I'll be having one bet potentially on Saturday, depending on price. I've not really seen prices yet. The 12.25 at Bangor. Crook's Peak's going to make his first run over fences for the Skeletons. He's been mostly over hurdles and in jumpers, bumpers since he joined the yard from Philip Hobbs. I thought in October, he was second at Kempton to Locker Room Talk and shaped quite well that day. He's on a much lower mark now. His form's all on better grounds, and, you know, given the Skeleton situation with the jockey's title, you can basically rule out any possibility that this is a sighter. This horse has probably been getting, it's probably got handicapped really nicely for a summer campaign. I think he might win.
Okay, thank you very much. David Jennings, I presume you're focusing on the Curra, where we've got some decent racing, haven't we?
Yeah, we do. And the one I like runs in the 2.35. There's two group threes. The Gladness is at 2.35. And I like Know It All here for Johnny Murta and Ben Cohen. I just think with Know It All, like she going into last season, Johnny Murta thought she was his best horse. And obviously Champers Elise blew everything out of the water, won 4 in a row and ended up winning the Group 1 Matron. But Know It All was last seen running the Matron and kind of got to the front kind of just two out, and then was swamped by Champers Elise down the outside. But they went very quick there. And I just think 7 furlongs is what Know-It-All wants. I'm not sure she quite gets a mile. Starts off here over 7. I think she's going to have a really good season this season, Know-It-All. She'll be around about 3-1, Bruce, but I think she'll win.
Thank you very much. Graham, anything for you for Saturday?
All the racing on Saturday, and I'm going to have to pick him one in the same race that DJ has his one in. But I do like Brad the Brief in this, in that 2:35 at the Curragh of the Gladness Stakes. It's the UK Raider, Tom Dascombe, going over from Cheshire to go in this race. This horse actually ran in a race at Riyadh last time out in February, where there was £1 million prize money. But in its second last start at Shanty, it won on heavy ground, pulling away. It's stepping up to 7 furlongs today. Mr. Dascombe is definitely going to want the travelling expenses. So Brad the Brief is my bet in that 2:35 race of the Curragh.
That'd be interesting, that wouldn't it? A UK Raider going over to Ireland and winning. It's been all one-way traffic the other day, so it'll be interesting to see how that one gets on. Okay, that was Saturday. Let's have a look at Sunday, see if there's anything else the lads fancy. We've got the Ayr and Newbury undercards. They're also racing at Wincanton and Stratford, and over in Ireland at Dundalk and at Tramore. David, anything for us on Sunday?
Just one, Bruce, in the bumper at Ayr. I just thought High Worth travel. Now, the form hasn't worked out really well, but I just thought High Worth travelled really well in the Warwick bumper last time. Nicky Henderson won this bumper, William Henry, and won it again with Pym. He tends to target decent enough horses at it, and I just think if High Worth comes on for that first run at Warwick, the winner just ran 2-3 Manson line at Aintree. I thought there was more improvement in High Worth, so I might chance that in the 5:20 there.
Thank you, Graham.
No, nothing in particular on Sunday. Okay. Caught my eye outside of the ITV races.
No problem. And Keith, what about you?
No, just the telly races really for me on Sunday.
Right, you are. Okay, chaps, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
David Jennings, if you were just having one bet this weekend, what would it be?
Tommy's Oscar and the 2:25 at Ayr on Sunday, the Scottish Champion Hurdle.
Brilliant. Thanks, DJ. Graham Temple.
I keep crossing over DJ because my nap also goes in the Scottish Champion Hurdle, Milkwood.
Okay, and Keith?
Yeah, it mentions the race before, the 150 here, the butcher said.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Thank you very much indeed, gentlemen, and thank you so much for listening. We're back next week to look ahead to Bet365 Gold Cup Day at Sandown. In the meantime, Maddie will be back on Monday to pick through the action and hopefully load your tracker up with plenty of horses that it will pay to follow. Bet safely, have fun, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.